Basic Bananas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back to Basic Bananas Radio. This is Christo here once again. And I've got a special guest for you today who's coming in from the other side of the world. We're coming in from Panama. I'm sitting here in Sydney for once. I'm home. And for you guys, our listeners, as you know, we always want to bring onto the show really smart entrepreneurs who are doing things differently to kind of open our eyes to see how different things can be done. And Matt Gallant, my guest, are you there, mate?
I am. Welcome. It's awesome to be here, man.
Thank you. Thanks for joining. Really looking forward to today. This guy, I know Matt's actually a good friend as well, just to clear that up with you listeners. So we can be very open, have a good conversation here for you guys. And he spends a lot of his time. Well, how long have you've just been traveling for about, was it 2-3 months?
Something? Yeah, it was 3 months. Yeah, so been doing the digital lifestyle, the nomad lifestyle for a while, but I do have a home base in Panama, but I'm Canadian. So I just love being abroad.
Love it. And so, and business obviously keeps ticking because this is one of the key points here. You know, while you're traveling, how's business?
Business keeps going great, man. It's all about creating systems and having great teams. That's what allows us to go away and not worry.
Awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, cause I, you know, earlier on in my journey, I would go away and not have the systems, and obviously things would not be as smooth. So
yes. And, it's good you brought that up because this will be good to kind of dig into your story a bit and how you got to this point. And as you've mentioned, like maybe what sort of area you focus on for systems and things. Cause, a lot of our listeners, you know, the small business market, small business owners, and I know a lot of you guys listening today would be thinking, how does this guy spend 3 months traveling? And that's not just a one-off trip, I can tell you that as well. and not have things break, basically, or not come back and have to kind of be on damage control and recoup for kind of lost time. So we'll dig into that. Do you want to tell us a little bit about you so the listeners know a bit more about you? Tell us a bit about you and kind of maybe even how you got started, and give us like the kind of rundown of what, you know, where you're at basically, or how you got started and where you're at now, kind of like give us the little timeline. Sure. Of how things have flowed for you.
Yeah, I'll compress it as much as I can, but I have awesome. Had a lot of journeys, so a lot of different experiences.
Cool.
I guess it started really with delivering newspapers because I love the freedom of it. And I think that kind of opened my mind. I wanted to be my own boss. So my first real entrepreneurial experience was when I was 19 years old and I saw a poster in university. I was studying kinesiology and physiology and it said make $10,000 this summer. So I applied and it was for a college pro painter franchise. So I got the gig and, you know, to this day, it was actually one of the toughest things I've ever done. We were knocking on doors in February in Eastern Canada. It was minus 20, pitch black, and you would tell people, hey, can I give you a free estimate to paint your house next summer? So you're doing this for a couple of hours. That was one of the ways we generated leads. We did many things, but I mean, it was just like trial by fire. And but I learned so many great things. I learned how to hire people. I think I did 75 interviews in one day. I literally lined up one guy after another with 10-minute intervals, and I went nonstop for like 14, 15 hours, I think. I've never done that since. But but I just learned a lot of great things and learned marketing a little bit. So I did that for 2 summers, learned selling, learned a lot of system-based things because that's what the power of a franchise is.
Mm.
Then I started organizing self-defense seminars. So I saw some instructional DVDs and I loved the guy, but I was going through university, right? Broke student. And to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma in the United States and to train with them would have cost me like $4,000 or $5,000, which I didn't have. So I said, well, why don't I fly him here and I'll organize some seminars, I'll organize some events. And even if I break even, it'll be a victory.
Nice.
So I ended up doing about 36 seminars in 6 years with this guy. It was a really good adventure. Then I graduated and became a personal trainer. So I had my own personal training business. And in a small town of about 100,000 people, I became, I think, the first professional personal trainer. I think literally there was, I don't even know if there was anyone else making a living from personal training at that time there. Mm. Built that up, sold it, moved to Vancouver. And this is where the marketing stuff comes in, which hopefully we'll get into. I was studying marketing, and I moved to Vancouver. This was a super competitive city. I mean, you have hundreds, if not thousands, of trainers. And I was, within about 6 months, the busiest guy or second busiest guy at World's Gym downtown Vancouver. And it wasn't because I was the best looking guy or the fittest guy. It was 100%. It was 100% because of the marketing stuff.
Awesome.
And I was just able to generate leads and close people. So I did that for about 3 years in Vancouver. And while I was doing that, I was studying internet marketing. And finally, I was making a lot more money online than I was with personal training. So I retired from that, sold that business, moved to Panama, and I've been a serial online entrepreneur since. So there's, I could get into all kinds of stories there, but I've been online now for about 12 years.
Awesome. Yeah. You do, and obviously I'm glad you touched on the whole marketing side. I didn't realize you had all of these other, such diverse other little entrepreneurial adventures in there as well. That's awesome to hear. And obviously there's no question about your marketing ability and the thing. So it'd be good to dive into to a bit on that. First of all, just like I know because you sell such a range of things, like I know for our listeners, we've probably really just scraped the tip of the iceberg here on with what you actually do. Like I know of even ourselves, I have, actually have some of your vitamins here, which you've sold on. I also have music lessons here in our cupboard, in our little music area in my home.
right.
Like in terms of you sell these products online, mm-hmm. When you're looking for online products and things, like what do you look for now? Like what's the, and tell us kind of maybe a little bit about what's your day-to-day look like right now as well?
So...
Two
big questions. So, yep. so the first question is, what do I look for to, in terms of good products?
Exactly.
Well, it really the best markets are when you have a group of passionate people, And for an example, golfers, musicians are passionate. Bodybuilders. There's a lot. I mean, when you're dealing with passion, like surfing for you, people are willing to pay the price to get good information or to get good products or to get a good service. They want it and are willing to pay for it. So that's a great starting point.
Mm.
One of the best tricks, I mean, this is the shortcut, and that's sell what's already selling. You can tweak it. You can make it a little bit different. But the biggest mistake for a new entrepreneur is trying to reinvent the wheel. So everybody should take a big breath of relief, because you don't need to be that creative. You don't need to create an iPod, right? Mm. You just need to go out there and look at what's working, and can I make it a little bit better, or can I make it a little bit different, and start from there. That's a great strategy.
Mm. I like it. I like it. What does your day to day look like, and kind of how many products are you selling? Like, what sort of, tell us a bit of a rundown of what you're actually, doing right now.
Sure. So I have four different companies. One is a instructional musical business. Another one is a supplement company. Another one is we do some online training that help people turn their passion to profits. And the fourth one is a software for online marketing to track the ROI on advertising. So, you can only really focus on one thing, maybe two things at a time. So it sounds like I've got a lot of things, but like for example, with the instructional musical business, we have enough of a structure and a system, and my partner runs the day to day, so I don't have to spend a lot of time there. With the supplement and the non-jobs business, which is the training people, that's a lot more energy and time mm-hmm. because you're building it up. But you know, the key for me, and this is more like a leveled a stage two entrepreneurial thing, is finding great people to partner up with. I do what I'm great at, which is marketing, and they do what they're great at, which is managing things and managing projects. I suck at that. So I don't want to do it. I don't like doing it, and I'm not that good at doing that. So as long as I stay out of that and I focus just on creating effective marketing systems, all is good in the neighborhood.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's a really good point too, just the whole partnering up with people, I guess. You hear it a bit, and I guess it's no secret, like partnering with people where you're not as strong. And if you've got the strength in a different area, of course, you know, you should be focusing there. So it's brilliant.
Just a question for you, to turn the tables a little bit. What's your strengths and what's your wife's strengths? Like, how do you guys balance things out?
Yeah. Well, we definitely have different strengths. Mine, I obviously, in terms of workshops and running events and things, we're both pretty good speakers, speaking in front of a crowd. So that's one side, which is actually works well. It's, even though we both do similar strength in that area. However, we have the team behind us then to make sure that the dates are booked and the schedules are booked in and things like that, because otherwise it would be chaos, which is probably sort of similar to what you're saying. We need to make sure those things are on. And then when it comes to the actual marketing side of things, I'm stronger in the online, kind of a lot of the online part, where she's not as interested, and she has really strong strength in branding. So if she can look at a brand, and her background's in kind of corporate advertising and marketing, so she's worked with some of the biggest brands in Australia, or some of the biggest brands in the world even, on branding. So she brings that side, and I've got small business entrepreneurial background, so I've had a range of different businesses too. So yeah, bringing different skills, which is exactly as you're saying. And then we hire the ones that are going to actually keep the dates and the schedules and make sure everyone's booked in and all that. Otherwise, it could be chaos. Totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool. And what does your day to day look like? Are you kind of like, what's mm-hmm. kind of like, what sort of hours do you put in, and what's your, you know, you like, are you every day, or are you just sort of jumping between the four of those? Or what's it sort of look like? What's your average kind of day look like?
So I'm going to answer this in terms of what it used to be like and what it's like now.
Cool.
Especially because, again, I've been a small business owner, and I know what it's like to start things. So, you know, when I started, I mean, I was a workaholic, right? So there was a lot of times early on where it was 70, 80-hour weeks. You know, I was just obsessed, and I loved it. So, it didn't feel like a grind. It was exciting, I guess, and I just went for it. So that was early on. But one of the things I think that's vital as entrepreneurs is every 3 to 6 months, you have to reevaluate your schedule and say, how can I optimize this? You know, what can I get rid of in terms of things that I'm doing? And what am I not doing that I should be doing? So when I find myself, and I'm actually going through one of these changes again right now, is what do I need my schedule to look like? So
yeah,
I'll have 2 days a week where it's all team meetings. And, you know, so basically I'm meeting with the various teams that I'm a part of, and we go through all the projects and make critical decisions, and then they execute. So that's about 2 days a week of executive decisions and working with teams. The other 2 or 3 days, I try to leave it open for more creative work, for getting stuff done, like creating marketing, creating copy, which is the words that sell, writing, you know, I'll get in the nitty gritty of funnel. I'll get into some pay-per-click if I have to, create some split tests. But all in all, right now, on average, I'm probably working about 30 to 35 hours a week.
Nice. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, so it's more of a lifestyle thing. Like, I don't know, like, I look back and I say, could I go back there? You know, there's the Elon Musk of the world and the Jeff Bezos that are still, you know, if you want to be a billionaire, then I think you have to keep going crazy for a very long time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't say that's my drive, so.
Yeah. I feel kind of the same. I prefer a lifestyle business. But I totally agree that there's points where you've got to bridge the gap, though, too, because I'm sure there'll be listeners listening in going, well, how on earth do I get there? You know, and it's not like we can just remove the to-do list entirely. However, it's sometimes actually adding to the to-do list, but adding to it with smart things and smart systems so that you'll do a little bit more, which will pay you back in the future and allow you to, you know, like you said, I liked it how you said 2 to maybe 3 days extra, you know, the extra 2 to 3 days. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's probably a 4-day week. You know, you suddenly are, you weren't committing to saying the first 2 days and then the next 3 days or saying the next, you know, 5 days, like a lot of entrepreneurs who work 7 days a week. You know, and I also think that there's a good point too, and a lot of listeners are probably thinking about, well, you know, sometimes too, when you're in a growth phase, you know, like if it is someone like an Elon Musk or whatever, I think they're constantly looking for growth and growth and growth, you know, pushing, so they'll probably put in more hours, obviously there as well. So that's really some good insights there. Now, When it comes to marketing, obviously, you know, as I said before, you've got a very, you know, strong reputation for marketing, and these people are partnering with you for marketing. Obviously, you've got the marketing skills, and I know it firsthand. A lot of our listeners probably don't know. You know, we catch up from time to time because even, you know, myself, I like to get Matt's insights. We're part of a little group. We get together and we share tips with one another, and you know, I've seen the marketing smarts that you have firsthand. But what about for you, just like for the listeners, what strategies, I guess, are most effective for you? You know, or like, what are your favorite? What's been most effective, and what do you like doing when it comes to marketing?
Well, you know, my bread and butter, historically, has been pay-per-click. So that's especially Google AdWords. I think I've generated over 6 million leads just from AdWords.
Nice.
So I was actually looking at that stat the other day. But now we have Facebook pay-per-click, which is super exciting.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna get into that, and I also want to talk about what I think are the top strategies for local businesses. So there's some things that I think people Beautiful. Should really be paying attention to.
Yes, let's do this.
So yeah, my favorite strategies is pay-per-click. Why? Because it's controllable, it's scalable, it's tweakable. You can test things very easily. You can optimize things very easily. You know, it's just wonderful platforms. So for any local business that's listening to this, you've got to get onto Google AdWords. Like, you know, it's a must. So I'm going to assume that hopefully everybody's going to jump on. And, you know, I've competed on a global scale on AdWords. That's a lot harder. But if you have a local business, like you're a law firm, you're a dentist, whatever it is that you are, there's no reason why you can't dominate Google AdWords locally. It's not that hard. Again, especially you might have 5-10 competitors on a local scale, and with a little bit of training and a little bit of knowledge, you can dominate. So that's my first tip for everyone.
Nice.
The second one, and this is all local, is Google Maps. I don't know how big it is in Australia, but in North America, even, you know, here in Panama, Google Maps is just becoming a big deal. You know, like if you go on your phone, if you go, which a lot of people will search in the maps, right?
Yeah.
So if you search on your maps, you know, a lot of times Google will show all the businesses, it will show the reviews, it shows all that stuff. So if you're not in there, you don't have a lot of reviews, it's going to be hard for you to get that business. Even in the main search engine of Google, the Google Maps for certain keywords dominate the top of the fold, the top of the listings. Mm. So, and it's really easy to dominate because there's not a lot of people really paying attention to it. First of all, get a lot of reviews. So get all your clients to give you some love. Number two, do some really basic SEO. You only need a couple of links that say the keyword that you want to hit for locally that link to your business profile or your Google Plus page. So you got to create a Google Plus account. And in that Google Plus account, create some basic you know, SEO rich content. So there's basically like a place where you can put up some posts and you can put some images. You know, again, it's not that hard. We've helped a lot of people do that. I'm sure you give people some basic SEO advice, Christo. So just follow what Christo tells you. That is, you know, again, really low-hanging fruit that can pay off big.
Yeah.
Number three, obviously social media. Social media is not going away. You know, there's a lot of different platforms. There's Instagram, Facebook. You know, now we have Periscope, all these things. Thing is, you know, pick one or pick two that your audience is there. Like if you're targeting younger people, okay, Instagram makes sense. You know, right now, older people aren't necessarily in droves on Instagram. If your business is food or it's restaurant, then Instagram can make sense because you can take pictures of food.
Yep.
So you have to kind of pick the battles, you know, because it's hard to just dominate everything. So those are probably my three top traffic strategies for a local business. Google AdWords and Facebook pay-per-click, Google Maps, and then social media in general.
Nice. Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think the maps, as you mentioned, is excuse me, is often overlooked as a really good strategy. Yeah. So that's really good. Very good. And as you've mentioned with social media, I totally agree with what you're saying there. And I think the listeners should definitely take that on board because there's some social media people out there that sell people on social media and they obviously say, look, you need to be on everything and absolutely across the board on every single thing. And they end up with like, you know, you end up with eight different social media platforms running and they all kind of look like a ghost town or you're paying someone a fortune to manage them.
True.
So, you know, as you said, pick your battles, pick the platforms that's right for you and just focus on that. You know, I think really if you're strong on, say, two of them, you know, maybe you're strong on three, but, you know, two is probably enough. It's better to do a good job on, you know, two platforms rather than be on five and have an average presence.
Yeah,
it can be almost damaging in that sense. So definitely a really good insight there. So let's pick on that.
I'm gonna give you one more strategy.
Yes.
This is completely local, and I made over six figures in Vancouver with this one strategy alone. So there was a weekly paper. It's very well read. It's called the Georgia Strait, Vancouver.
Yeah.
And they had a classified ad section. So all I would do, I would run a classified ad, and in the ad I would say, the seven critical factors you need to know before you hire a personal trainer, go to, I forget what it was, nice. nobsbodies.com to get the report. So I would drive people there, they would read the report, then it would call me for a free consultation. So newspapers and rags can have a lot of impact, especially if you drive them to a very optimized funnel onto your website. So I think that's also overlooked, especially if you're just learning the online marketing stuff. There's still a lot of people, especially older people above 40 and up, they're reading newspapers. They're reading, you know, they want to physically hold that paper in their hand.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think that is a really good point. And as you've mentioned, driving them to a funnel as well, because oftentimes I'm sure a lot of listeners have probably tried a newspaper and maybe not had the success they wanted, but oftentimes the mistake that we see over and over with newspapers is that they're driving them straight to like the phone or driving, you know, like book in now or, but it's a big step for somebody if they haven't experienced you at all, you know, to say like book in for those personal training sessions, call now. But I don't know anything about you. Whereas you've kind of softened the steps and built a bit of trust by moving me to a, you know, a free resource, which is brilliant.
Another mistake is you drive people to a homepage and it's a beautiful looking site, but it doesn't draw me in. It doesn't capture my information. There's nothing that, you know, sucks me into your marketing world, right? You need to get the lead. It's all about getting the lead. Your number one priority, you know, with all of your efforts should be to get people's name and email. That's it. Like that, you know, after that, you can build a relationship using email strategies, using autoresponder strategies, using social media, you know, that comes after, but you got to get that name and email, because otherwise 99% of people are going to leave your website and never come back.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can capture, let's say 15% of the people that come, that'll completely change your business.
Yeah, that is brilliant. It's a good point. And kind of the whole thing, I guess just to expand on that, it's like, because people aren't ready, as you've just mentioned, maybe 99% of people come and they don't, you know, they're going to look at the site and leave. Whereas having that opt-in, if we all need to think about, and maybe this is just a different train of thought for our listeners, if you think about what Matt's just said, it's like they're not everybody's ready to buy the minute they come across your website. The problem is if then 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later or 3 months later, they suddenly are ready to buy, they're suddenly ready to hand over money, they're then going to probably hop back on, you know, Google, right? however, if it's 3 months later or 6 months later or a year later, even before they decide to hand over money, the chances of them coming back to your website are getting very slim. So, however, those people might have been going to buy at some point in the future, you know, the first time they come to your site, like if they are going to buy 6 months down the track. So if you can get their details, and it's good to hear from someone like yourself, you know, you're just doing so much online with your online marketing that is the priority, is getting the name and the email. It's kind of, as you say, it makes sense, right? It's kind of sounds pretty obvious now. However, most people don't do that.
There's another thing that everybody's got to do. It's been the biggest upgrade in online marketing in the last few years, which is called retargeting. Yep. So retargeting allows us to put a cookie on a visitor's browser and then follow them along and show them more ads to bring them back. So that has changed the game significantly. So let's say 85% of people don't opt in, they leave. You can chase these people, stalk them, if you will, with your advertising. And there's a couple of really powerful things that happen. First of all, they keep seeing you all over the place, and their mind says, wow, these guys are big time. You know, they're advertising everywhere. They're dominating. Like that's what I, you know, that's what the amateur person thinks, right?
Yeah, exactly. See you all over the top websites and things that think you must be spending a fortune to be there.
Right. So it gives you the appearance of a monster, and in reality you're not spending that much because you're only paying once they click, and you know you're being seen to a very small group of people, the people that came to your site. So those two things, going for the lead and retargeting, should be, I mean, you know, you got to do it. Yeah. You absolutely must have to do it.
Yeah. I bet too, with a lot of the listeners, I'm sure on today's call, like you've already got traffic coming to your website. So they're probably coming and leaving right now, kind of right this second, aren't they? So the sooner you'd have a...
Catch that guy, he's leaving.
Exactly, he's leaving. He's on the way, he's gone. Someone just left, damn it. So the sooner we can get the opt-in to capture, you know, a percentage, and then with everyone else, we'll still retarget with remarketing. That's awesome. Now, what about what makes a good ad? You know, I know you do, you know, a lot with online ads. So what is it? What's the ingredients? What makes a good kind of like pay-per-click ad? Or maybe even, can you talk us through kind of like the ad that goes to a sales page, what we need on the sales page, what happens, like what are the steps basically? Good ad right through to, you know, what should happen next and so on.
Sure. So the biggest mistake that a lot of people do, and even some smart marketers, they make this mistake, is they think of things in isolation. You know, a marketing experience for the people that visit your website, people that click your ads, they don't know the difference. I mean, for them, it's just one continuous experience. So for an example, if I see an ad that says, you know, become a world-class guitar player, that's what it says. So I click that, and if I land on a web page and it doesn't say the same thing, it doesn't match that content, then immediately in my mind I say, this is weird, right? Like, you know, so a lot of times people will create ads that they're good ads, but they don't match the opt-in page.
Mm.
They don't match in terms of the words. They don't match in terms of the image. And they don't match in terms of the concepts. So one of the biggest upgrades you can make is don't think in isolation. You've got to create a funnel. You know, it's really like music. Imagine if you're watching a band and the bass player is playing one song, the guitarist is playing another, the drums is playing a different song. It's going to be chaos and everybody's going to leave very quickly. So all your instruments, all your band members, which includes, I'm going to go through the, here's the list. Here's the bandmates, okay? The first thing is your target audience. And that's very ignored. We can go deeper into that. That's the first piece.
Yep.
Everything needs to be in alignment with that. Like, that's the foundation. If you will, that's the base of the whole thing. Then is your ad. Then your ad goes to, let's say, an opt-in page, a lead capture page. From then, you have autoresponders, emails. And then finally, you have sales letters. So you have all these different ingredients. And again, they all need to be in alignment. So that's the first big tip for a great ad.
Nice.
Is align these things. So the ad is a big piece of it, but a lot of times, you might outsource your ad creation and they come back with 100 beautiful looking ads, but they're just disconnected.
Mm.
You know, they're playing a different song.
Yeah, I think this whole thinking is probably one of the, like, I agree, this has been one of the most common mistakes we see with our market. It's like you hear people over and over, and I couldn't agree more. They're saying things like, people are clicking my ads, but they're not buying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm using up my budget and they're clicking the ads, but they're just not buying, you know, obviously. And as you're saying, yeah, exactly. It's not the ads, one little piece of the pie, isn't it? Very cool.
Now here's the second big piece. And again, these are the foundations. I mean, I'll get into some little tricks and stuff, and I'm going to share some really good data with you.
Cool.
But you got to get the big stuff right. Otherwise, yeah, all the little stuff won't matter.
Awesome.
So the next big thing is you've got to have an awesome big idea. And when I say a big idea, there's, you know, people call it a lead. I love the term a big idea. In other words, it's an idea that you read the ad and it intrigues you. It gets your attention and you want to know more. You know, you feel like there might be something there for you. You know, maybe it's huge benefits. Maybe it's a new concept. Maybe it's amazing transformation or an amazing testimonial. But you need, you know, my best ads, the ones that have generated millions, have been the ones that have had the best big ideas. So you got to get that part right. That's we get an entire call just on that piece. That's
yeah.
the second component. Next, and this is key. Now we're going to get into more of the technical stuff. Next, you need great copy. One of the big things, and it's wild and it's shocking, but a lot of times, you know, no image, just words will be your best ad. In fact, the majority of the time, it will be. Now, I'm going to get into images. Because images can make a difference, a positive difference, but you have to test. Mm. So with the image, you literally put text with a white background. I swear to God, some of the best ads we've ever had were just white backgrounds, with text, and that's it.
Nice.
So obviously, when you do that, the copy, the words that you use are the main components. Here are a couple of good tips to emulate. Number one, use numbers. So obviously, again, if you use numbers, the landing page needs to reflect that. So if you say, you know, the three top secrets to becoming a great surfer, that's what your ad says. Well,
yeah,
your landing page needs to have the three top secrets to becoming a great surfer. But numbers are very powerful. So I like using numbers. And the best strategy, what's working the best right now, is to go right into content. So what you can do is you can go advertising, your ad, yep, to content, and then content to opt-in, content to lead capture. So there's another piece we haven't nice. Talked about. But the platforms love that. Google loves that. Facebook loves that. And the viewers, the readers, love that. So
yeah. So just let me clarify that. By that you mean like advertisement to, say, a popular blog post you have? Is that what you're mm-hmm. referring to as content?
Correct.
So we drive them from the ad to the blog post. On the blog post, you're suggesting there's an opt-in there? Or is it like a...
Yeah, now you've got to really optimize the experience. Like, I wouldn't send them to a blog post. I would take that blog post and I would create a new web page where there's not a lot of links that they can leave. You know, yep, you really want them to...
Nice.
You want to funnel them. You know, you've been to IKEA, right?
Yes.
The big store, the Swedish
yes.
store.
Yeah.
It's like they funnel you in, right? Like, you can't leave.
No, you can't. There's 2Ks. The one in Sydney is a 2-kilometer walk from...
is it?
Yeah, from the minute you get in, you have to go the 2 kilometers to get to the checkout through all of the products.
Well, you know, it's one of the reasons they're one of the biggest brands in the world, because they've created you have to walk that path.
Yes.
So you want to basically do the same concept on your website. You want to funnel people in. That's why I don't like a blog, because there's too many places people can get lost in and start clicking. And
yeah.
So you might not get the lead, but great content is where it's at now. It's very hard to go straight from an ad to a sales page, for example. Like that's very difficult for a lot of reasons that I'm not gonna get into.
Yep.
But so numbers are great, and here's a big one that I've tested thousands and thousands of things. And one of the things that makes the biggest difference in ads is your font. So the font that you use has to match the audience. It's one of these things. Like, I'll give you an example. This was actually one of the biggest pay raises. When I say pay raise, means that it improved results that I've ever had in advertising. And that was, we took the same ad. And we put this really crazy font called Sand. So if you want, you can Google Sand Apple font if you want to see what it looks like. And it looks like spray painted. It looks like, I don't know. It's just weird. But for musicians, they obviously love that, right? I mean, in the music world, it's very creative. And you have these wild, crazy fonts that bands use on their albums and things like that. So that worked. I mean, that tripled. Here's what happened. It tripled our click-through rate, which then gave us like 20x the impressions that we were getting, and the cost per click dropped. So it was just this crazy nice. Chain reaction of things. Yeah. And I'll give you another example. So I've sold a lot of fitness products. And in the fitness industry, especially, again, male, young males, even, you know, middle-aged males, the army-style fonts work very well. You know, they usually outperform other fonts. So depending who you're selling to, if you're selling to women, if you're selling to young women, older women, if you're selling to older men or older people in general, a lot of these old fonts like Times New Roman or Courier can do very well. So you have to match. Again, it goes back to matching the audience, right? You know, you have to have this harmonization
and this amount of detail. It's like, it's awesome. You're diving into the font. I don't think there'd be many people out there that would have kind of split test font to market as you have, which is awesome. Really cool. Keep going. Sorry, I've jumped in there.
No, hey, that's what it's all about.
Really good.
Now, here's a great tip to maximize your return on investment, especially on AdWords, especially in the display. And right now we're talking what's called image ads. I'm not really focusing on text ads per se. Yeah. But with image ads, the size, the shape matters a lot. In general, we've seen horrible, and I've got a ton of data to that I've looked over in multiple different industries. And the classic banner ads that we've all grown up with perform horribly. So in general, if you're starting a new campaign, I would say avoid those like the plague. What you want to do instead is square ads. Square ads typically perform a lot better. And the bigger the square, the better the performance. So that's just one of these little tricks that you can do.
Cool.
Yeah. So there's a lot of other little things that like, for an example, in the Google AdWords platform, you can now change your bids based on state or province. You can change your bid based on country. You can change your bid based on male, female, age. So you can really optimize your cost per click based on all these little variables. So if you really know who you're talking to and you really know your audience, you can really maximize your performance.
Yeah, this is really good. A lot of gold nuggets in here. I recommend for our listeners keeping this one in your mobile device or wherever you're listening to us from, and or bookmarking the page on the Basic Bananas site and coming back and going through this, of course, step by step, because there's a lot of really golden nuggets you've shared in there that can be, you know, pretty much taken and just applied. Definitely, very cool. How do you like? What do you focus on? How do you keep yourself at the forefront? Is what's your focus?
I think one of the best ways is I keep looking at the best performing funnels. You know, there's a great service called adbeat.com, adbeat.com. You can actually spy on your competition. Clickbank.com. You can go to the marketplace and you can see the best selling products in each category. You know, when I search things in Google and I'll see who is the top one or two for a specific keyword, I'll click on their ads and I'll look at their funnel. So, and obviously having a lot of friends in the industry, you hear what's working well.
Yeah.
So I think it's a combination of networking and being in the industry and having friends that are doing stuff, but also going on these platforms and spying, you know, looking at what's hot. And again, one of the best secrets to success is just emulate what's already selling really well. And a great simple example of that, just go to Amazon.com. You can search any word, you know, any product, any book category, and you'll literally see what's the top five, top 10 books. And there's a lot of gold there. Like the other day I was searching for self-development, and you're just looking at the titles. They were just awesome titles that you can learn from. There's a lot of great copy. You know, a lot of times just the title itself is just so strong that it can catapult a book into the success.
That's a really good tip as well. Great ideas, like great place to get ideas for headlines even, and things and idea generation.
Cool. We need to become sales detectives, business detectives. You know, we're always on the lookout and we're always looking for what's working well. You know, that's just a habit that I think we all need to cultivate as entrepreneurs.
Yeah, very cool. Awesome. This has been really valuable, Matt. Thanks for really opening up, like pulling back the curtains too on a lot of you know, really good insights here into what you're doing. Now, before we kind of get towards wrapping up, this is one question I like to throw at people. It might throw you on the spot a little bit, but is there something like that's been the funniest or weirdest thing? Like, what's the funniest or weirdest thing that's happened to you in business? See, yeah, throwing you on the spot here.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't funny at the time. It's kind of funny now. It was actually really painful at the time. But
oh, good. This sounds good.
Yeah. It was actually like, I think that this day is still like the biggest business fiasco I've ever experienced. So,
oh yes, excellent.
It was actually like it was like six fiascos in a row, all within like 2 months. So, our fulfillment center shuts down. That wasn't a fiasco, but
ouch.
So, you know, not a big deal. You know, we started searching for a new fulfillment center, and then we bounced around, and we finally found some guys. And we go with those guys, and they didn't have what's called XML, which XML, anyways, it's a language where when somebody orders on a website, it automatically, using XML, sends the order to the fulfillment center, and obviously then they fulfill.
Yep.
So they didn't have that feature yet. So what we needed to do every day was send them a spreadsheet with the orders. So then our customer support, our lead, you know, our head customer support person quits. And she was kind of holding a lot of things together. So we made one of the worst hires we ever did. We literally found out she had, you know, a crack addiction. That was discovered later. She's lying to us every day, telling us that she's sending the orders. So, you know, we didn't think anything of it. Finally, 2 months later, the fulfillment center just sends me an email and says, "We haven't received anything in 2 months. Like, what's going on?"
No, you're kidding me.
And, you know, here's the thing. We were selling most of our products through subscriptions. These were supplements. So people were getting charged a couple of months, and they didn't receive
anything.
So, it gets even crazier. So then I say, okay, listen, ship everything as fast as you can. So these guys decided to ship everything FedEx Global Express. So we get the biggest fulfillment bill I've ever had in my life, still to this day. Okay, I've never had a bigger fulfillment bill. Oh, and then at the same time, our sales, our subscriptions dropped by 75% because people were getting charged and not receiving product. So it was just one of these cataclysmic things where
snowballing.
It took us a long time to recover, but I've learned a lot from that. And you know, you always make sure you have backups so that things don't blow up like that.
Nice work. Well done for surviving. Makes for a good story anyway. So thank you for sharing. Now, I was going to ask, just before I could, you know, in closing, asking where people can find out more about you, I was going to ask if you had one tip, but, you know, just like how I typically like to close. Now, you've shared 100 tips or so on this. So I don't, you know, like if there was one other thing you kind of like, I wouldn't want to cut you off. If there was one other thing you were, you know, keen to share, that'd be awesome. Otherwise, let us know where people can find out more about you.
Yeah, I think the biggest tip is, it's really easy to become a busy bee in your business and do a lot of stuff. But what you really want to do, the biggest thing that's going to grow your business and have a financial impact, is focus on the 4 or 5 money-making activities. For an example, creating ads, creating copies, creating emails, split testing, you know, launching new products. Those are the things that are going to make you money. All the other stuff, hire people, outsource it, you know, don't get bogged down in those type of activities because they're not going to make you more money. That's my biggest tip. And I think it's really easy as an entrepreneur, especially in the beginning, like you're not really sure what has the impact, but you want to be spending 80% of your time on money-making activities and the other 20% on operations, just getting the thing, keeping the thing rolling.
Awesome. Very cool.
As far as where to get a hold of me, I'm going to launch just a personal blog pretty soon, probably mattgallant.tv. But you can also get more training and hear more things at nonjobs.com. I've got more marketing stuff there. So that's probably one of the better spots right now.
Nice. So that's nonjobs, nonjobs. Was it nonjobs.com? I'll put the links into the show notes as well. And any other links, if you're happy to share with us, I'll put, happy to put some links to any of the products or anything you'd want to whack in the show notes. So for those who would like to learn more about Matt, we'll jump onto the, if you're listening to this on your phone or wherever you're listening in, jump on the Basic Banana site and we'll whack all the links there as well so we can find out more about you and track you down. So that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Of course, a lot of gold in here for our listeners. You guys, if you, obviously, you know, as I was saying, it'd be a good one today to kind of keep track of this show so you can always reference back to it. And you know, and as you're implementing ads and things and implementing your funnels, be a good refresher to run through this. Obviously, Matt's got a lot of success in this area and a really strong track record. So definitely worth implementing everything we've gone through today. And of course, for you guys as the listeners, if you have any other further questions, we'll be happy to kind of bounce those around. Leave them in the comments either on the Basic Bananas website or on iTunes. Always happy to hear from you. And if you've seen Valiant today, please go ahead and share it with a friend. You know, share the love, share it around. Or if you know a business owner who would benefit from being more effective with their online presence, their online advertising, please do go ahead and share the show. Thanks again, Matt. You're a legend. Thanks for sharing and being so open. Bloody awesome.
And everybody listening, make sure you go bananas in marketing, go bananas in life, because that's where the joy is, man.
Awesome. True, true. Have fun. Thanks, Matt.